Well, good morning and welcome to our morning service here at Homegate Church on Sunday, the 20th of September 2020. If you're joining us online, then a warm welcome to you. Before we look at our passage this morning, let's just bow our heads and commit our time to the Lord. Loving Heavenly Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will move among us this morning. I pray that you'll be with us as we all listen from home. Help us to concentrate, to not be distracted, and to focus on your word. Finally, Lord, as it says in Psalm 19, verse 14, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So this morning, we continue our series entitled Jesus, a Ransomed Life. Last week, we returned to the book of Mark after a break in August. This morning, our passage comes from Mark 8, verse 34, through to Mark 9, verse 1. And we're going to touch ever so slightly on the first verse in chapter 9. So if you're using an NIV Bible this morning, then you can find the passage on page 1012. The sermon this morning is entitled Take Up Your Cross and Follow Me. So what does it mean to take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ? What are the implications for doing so? Why is this important? Hopefully this morning, we're going to answer these questions. We're going to answer them by firstly looking at the demands. Looking at the demands of discipleship which Jesus makes. Having considered the demands, we'll then look at the reasons. We'll consider the reasons for the demands of discipleship. So firstly, let's look at these demands. Turn with me to Mark 8, verse 34. It reads, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Notice in this opening verse who Jesus is addressing. Now, in previous chapters, we've seen Jesus address just the crowds. And then on other occasions, we've seen Jesus teach his disciples privately. Now we see Jesus giving teaching to both the crowds and his disciples. He calls the crowds and the disciples to come close to him. He wants to make it very clear to everyone what it means to follow him. You'll notice in the remainder of the verse, he gives three demands. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and keep following Jesus. Let's look at these three demands of discipleship more closely. Firstly, in the first demand, you must deny yourself. If it was bad enough hearing the news that Jesus must suffer, that he must suffer, be rejected, and then die a painful death on the cross, Jesus now tells his disciples and the rest of the crowd they must do the same thing. In fact, he tells everyone, if you are to follow me, you must deny yourself. This is perhaps far easier said than done. Usually, the decisions that you make in life are made to benefit you, but your decisions should be based on what will bring the most glory to Christ. It should be all about his benefit and not your own. It is not about you, it is all about Jesus. As a disciple of Christ, your first loyalty is to him, not yourself. Therefore, the first demand Jesus makes is that you deny yourself. The second of Jesus' demands is that you must take up your cross. Now, everybody knew what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross. Everybody knew that the cross represented one thing, death. The cross had no other purpose in life. Taking up your cross wasn't a journey. It was a one-way trip. When a man took up a cross in Jesus' day, it meant only one thing, that man was going to die. Now, the Romans made you carry your own cross to the place of execution. And you'll recall that Jesus started out carrying his cross, but he was so exhausted. He was so exhausted from his beatings, the floggings and the torture that he suffered. As a result, he struggled to carry it. And so they made somebody else carry it the rest of the way for him. Now, we all suffer hardships in life. We all suffered difficulties. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic and life can be tough. But carrying the cross doesn't mean suffering these normal frustrations of life. Carrying the cross, taking up your cross, means suffering for Christ. It means dying to self and living for God. It refers to the sacrifices that you make because you are a follower of Christ. This includes the willingness to suffer the greatest sacrifice of all, the willingness to give up your life rather than deny Jesus as your Lord. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." He carried his and walked to his death. So must those who follow him. This was the second demand Jesus gave the crowd and disciples. The third demand that Jesus made was that you keep following him. The emphasis is on the word keep. You must be ready to keep following Jesus right to the end. If I asked you what a glory supporter was, would any of you know? Well, let me explain using football supporters as an example. Now, most followers of football support their team from an early age. The team might be your local one or a team that the family follow together. It might be one you've got some association with. Well, glory supporters, as they are commonly known, are different. These are supporters who tend to follow whichever team is winning. When I was a young lad, we had one of these on our street. When Tottenham Hotspur won the FA Cup in 1991, the next day he appears on the street in a Tottenham shirt. A year later, when Manchester United won the very first Premier League, again, the next day he appears on the street supporting a Manchester United top. Now, later still, after Roman Abramovich brought Chelsea Football Club, he came onto the street wearing a Chelsea shirt. So whichever team appeared to be on top, he followed them. So despite the stick that he got from lots of people, he continued to be a glory supporter. In fact, I've actually no idea who he follows now. You see, glory supporters swap teams when the success dries up. When the going gets tough, they move on to the next. They don't wait for the hardships or the 30 years of waiting. They ignore the suffering by moving on. They don't hang around. This is not something you can do when following Jesus. You can't move on to the next. There is only one Lord and Saviour. Following Jesus means that you go the distance, you go the extra mile. You don't just start out on a path, then you veer off on a different one. You stick with it. You see it through to the very end. You continue to deny yourself and you pick up your cross. If you were with us on Zoom this morning, we sang a song with the kids as part of the children's talk, and it read, "I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." You keep following Jesus for the rest of your life. This is what it means to keep following Jesus. This is his demand. So in this opening verse, Jesus makes these three demands. He demands you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Now, Jesus recognised that these demands of discipleship are perhaps not the easiest to hear. So after giving his demands, Jesus then gives some reasons for them. Three reasons why we should accept these demands and follow Christ. But what are the reasons for discipleship? Why should we follow Jesus Christ? Well, the first reason is because your life depends on it. Look at verse 35. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Verse 35 is a contradiction in terms, wouldn't you agree? If you try to save your own life by living your own way, you'll lose it. If you follow your own goals, your worldly desires, you will lose them. But if you lose your life for Jesus, your life will be saved. If you deny yourself and follow Jesus Christ, your life will be saved. Notice you are to lose your life for Jesus and the gospel. Why did Jesus come to earth? What was his mission? Well, in the early chapters of Mark, we read why Jesus came. He came to preach the good news. He came to suffer and die for our sins. And he came to rise from the dead on the third day. This is the message we should be sharing with our family and friends. We should spread this message far and wide all around the world. Everybody needs to hear the gospel and know about Jesus. If you lose your life for Jesus and the gospel, you will save your life. Why should you accept Jesus' demands of discipleship? Well, because first of all, your life depends on it. Secondly, because what is more valuable than your life? Turn with me to verses 36 and 37. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Verses 36 and 37 present us with maybe two rather sort of strange questions. These are what we probably call rhetorical questions. In other words, they're left unanswered because the answers are so obvious. What good is it if you gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul? Well, the simple answer is it's no good at all. But what can you give in exchange for your soul? Answer again is nothing. Nothing is as valuable as your soul. Jesus had the opportunity to gain the world by worshipping Satan. Look at Luke 4 verses 5 to 8 with me. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Like Jesus, you can gain everything. You could have more money. You could have wealth. You could have power, more than you could imagine. But it means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing if you lose your life or your soul in the process. If you avoid following Jesus, you may indeed gain the whole world. But in the end, you will end up losing everything. So our lives need to be focused on Jesus and the gospel. Like we spoke about on Tuesday night, if you were with us for our prayer meeting, we have to place Christ at the centre of everything. He is our priority. We can't afford to focus on money and material things in this life. Contrary to the way we see so many people living their lives, you can't take any of these things with you. Worse still, you will be left behind. Your life is valuable to Jesus. He wants you. You are his treasure. If you lose your life for Jesus and the gospel, you will store up treasure in heaven that will never fade away. So why should you accept Jesus' demands for discipleship? Well, because firstly, your life depends on it. Secondly, because what is more valuable than your life? And thirdly, because Christ will return in power and glory. Look at verses 38 and then verse 1 of chapter 9. They read, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. Nobody said that it would be easy following Jesus. We'll have to associate ourselves with someone who is despised, someone who was despised and then killed on the cross at Calvary. Yet if we are ashamed of Jesus, look what it says in verse 38, the Son of Man will be ashamed of us when he comes. Christ died, Christ rose again, and Christ will return in glory. Be assured, Christ is coming again in glory. And if we rebel against the world and the devil, we will share in the glory. When Christ returns, he will bring judgment to the world. We will each have to give an account of our lives. Who did we live for? Was it for God or for ourselves? If we were ashamed of Christ and his words, then Christ will be ashamed of us when he returns. If we choose to identify with this adulterous and sinful generation, rather than finding our identity in Christ by following him, we will be judged accordingly. It will get very messy. When Christ returns, the time of suffering for his followers will end. All those who suffered for Christ will now follow him into victory. This is exactly what Peter wanted. He wanted the victory. He just wanted it without the suffering. Look back with me to verses 31 and 32. You may recall what happened. We looked at them last week. Jesus began teaching his disciples about the suffering he must endure. He told them he must be killed, but after 3 days he would rise again. Jesus was very clear in this message, but Peter rebuked him. Remember maybe even further back in Mark 1 verses 16 and 18, Jesus told Peter to follow him. Peter left everything to do so. He had followed Jesus faithfully all this time. If Jesus was going to suffer and die, what did that mean for him? What did this mean for Peter and the rest of Jesus' followers? Well, it meant they would possibly suffer and die too. And Peter didn't like that. We then see Jesus rebuking Peter in verse 33. After which, we then see Jesus call his disciples and the crowd together. And as they stood around him, Jesus said to them all, back in verse 34, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus also said to them in verse 1 in Mark, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. Now, this verse sees the beginning of the account of the Transfiguration, and Simon will be bringing this passage to us next week. So for now, just realise the fact that Christ could return at any time. No one knows the hour of his return, and so we need to be ready. We need to be ready because Christ will return in power and glory. So as we draw to a close this morning, what can we learn from these demands of discipleship? What can we learn from the reasons for discipleship? If you remember nothing else this morning, remember the application. And to make this easier to remember, I want to use an illustration. An illustration that I've adapted from one Nigel Stiles at Cornhill shared with me just last week. I want to imagine that you are out on a walk. It's a walk that you've not done before. On your walk, you come across an old looking bridge. Now, the bridge has stood the test of time, but it looks a little daunting. But in order to continue on your journey, you have to cross the bridge. Now, it's possibly going to be a struggle. It might even be hard work. You could stumble. You could even fall. But you need to make it across. You see, there's no restrictions on the bridge. Anyone and everyone can cross. As you stand and face the bridge, you turn back and you look. And behind you, you just see dark clouds. A storm is coming. It looks horrendous, uninviting, almost desperate. And it kind of brings a sense of doom. You look out across the bridge ahead of you, and you see an abundance of life. You see the beauty of God's creation, and it's everything you imagined. It looks inviting. It just looks incredible. But at the same time, it almost looks too good to be true. So what do? You have a decision to make. Do you turn back, or do you cross the bridge? Well, Discipleship, following Jesus, is for everyone. There are two types of Christian, or actually, there are not two types of Christians, I should say. Those who say they just believe in Jesus, but don't cross the bridge. And then there are those who follow Jesus and have crossed the bridge. Following Jesus is for everyone. You can't call yourself a Christian and be standing on the wrong side of the bridge. I hope that's quite clear. Secondly, not everyone who starts following Jesus keeps following. Sadly, some step onto the bridge. They start walking across, but for some reason they turn back. Something happens. Something prevents them from crossing. The gospel tells us that many who started following Jesus did the same. They turned back when they realized the demands of discipleship. They are now back on the wrong side of the bridge. They may look again. They may still wonder. But they haven't crossed. When you truly believe in Jesus, you will cross the bridge to follow him. Denying yourself and taking up your cross demonstrates faith. But have you persevered in your faith? Not everyone starts following Jesus, keeps following Jesus. Starting out is not enough. You can't start to cross, then turn back. You know your faith is genuine when you reach the other side. You know that your faith is genuine when you keep following Christ. You keep following Jesus. You don't turn back. Make it across the bridge. Thirdly, and finally, following Jesus is the best decision you will ever make. One commentator said, if you don't bear the cross, then you can't wear the crown. The demands of discipleship may be severe, but the rewards are great. There is nothing that compares to following Jesus. Following yourself is a bridge to nowhere. You'll reach a dead end. You weren't made for yourself. You were made for God, for Jesus. When you follow Jesus and cross that bridge, you'll find peace and joy. You'll find peace and joy and the meaning in life. But if you don't follow Jesus, if you don't cross the bridge, you will miss out on your ultimate purpose. You will experience instead God's judgment and the wrath for your sin. Following Jesus is the best decision you will ever make. Not following Jesus is the worst decision you will ever make. God calls every one of us to follow him. So as we close, where are you at? Are you turning back? Or are you crossing the bridge? If I may, let me tell you where I am. All for Jesus, I surrender. Amen.